Have you ever felt like you've been stuck and couldn't get unstuck? Have you ever felt you've made too many mistakes in your life that you can never recover from? What if you're becoming your own worst enemy and you don't know what to do about it? Abuse, addiction, and anger can keep many men in bondage. So how do you break free from your pain, your problems, and the memories from your past? Can you break the cycle? Can you start again? Well, get ready to be inspired by today's guest as he shares how he turned his misery into a ministry for men. Stay tuned because Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today, we have with us a very special guest of mine, Reverend Dwight Harrison, who is the founder and administrative executive of the Breaking the Cycle Transitional Home of Faith for Men. The Home of Faith for Men is a halfway house for at-risk men coming out of jail and prison. Since its start in 2007, their goal has been to keep men from going back to jail and learn to live a Christ-centered life. Now, this man, Dwight Harrison, has a very, very powerful testimony, and I've invited him on the show today to share it with us. Reverend Harrison will be the first to admit he's made a lot of mistakes in his life, but God has allowed him to turn his mistakes into a ministry, where he now works with men who face similar challenges. And today, he's going to teach us how we can turn our lives around and finally break the cycle that unfortunately holds many of us back from being the men God called and created us to be. So with that being said, hey, Dwight, thank you for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Joe, and thank you for having me.
Dwight, I of course, the listeners have no idea of what it took to get you on this show. And we've had to reschedule and rearrange things. And man, I am so excited to have you on the show. And we always start out the show, Dwight, by asking our guests to share with us their favorite Bible verse and why. So if you don't mind sharing us, what is your favorite Bible verse and why is it your favorite?
That's easy, Joe. Thank you. My favorite Bible verse, and it keeps me through the dark times and had kept me through dark times, Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, "Therefore, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, but it's Christ that lives in me. In the life that I live by faith, I live in the Son of God who died and gave his life for me." And Joe, even now, we all have egos. Let's face that fact. Every single day, one of my goals is to not be in control, but I surrender under the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him, may he be total Lord in my life and all that I do. It's not about Dwight, right, or my accolades or the things that I've accomplished. So what? It doesn't matter there. I am a kingdom man of God, and that's one of my quests in life, Joe.
And I tell you, Dwight, I love that Bible reference. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite as well. Speaking of being that our old self has been crucified, this is a great transition to start with you sharing your personal story, because you created the Breaking the Cycle Transitional Home of Faith for Men, but you have a story behind this. So if you can, and we'll dive deeper into the story so you can kind of give us the highlights, kind of tell us how you were led to the point of creating Breaking the Cycle for Men.
Well, that's a good question, Joe. I'd be happy to. All through my life, I had noticed a common thread in my life, making mistakes. And why would I keep making mistakes? It was like a cycle. I was on a vicious treadmill in life, going nowhere fast. I would be in one relationship, get out of that relationship, get into another bad relationship, leave one job, get into another bad job. And that was an ongoing thing in my life. And it finally dawned on me, and it was the Holy Spirit who gave me the revelation that until I was man enough to admit my failures, my mistakes, and all the other sinful, evil idiosyncrasies that had me trapped, I was in a corner of darkness in my life for a very, very long period of time. Even pastoring, I was addicted to certain things that the enemy had deceived me into believing it was a common part of my life. But when the Holy Spirit started revealing to me, Jeremiah 29:11, I know, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for you to prosper and plans for you to succeed in life. I had to admit, Joe, I was a complete failure. I had to admit I was addicted to something, some things in life. And when I came to that acknowledgement in my life, I really am messed up. I need help. That's when God started going to work in my life. And from that point on, that's been many years ago, Joe. Mm-hmm. And even up to this point now, when I feel like a failure, I don't live by my emotions no more because I've been crucified in Christ. And I realize it's no longer Dwight, but it's the Christ that lives in me.
Absolutely. Now, Dwight, and we're going to go there because you know how we do on Real Men Connect. We keep it real. And you and I know each other even outside of the broadcast. And I've been blessed to meet a lot of great men like you. And I'm fascinated, and I'm sure our listeners will be too, on going to some of those dark places that you've been. Because before you came to starting this organization, and what you're helping men now with, this is a ministry, we know usually a ministry is birthed out of some type of pain, some suffering, or maybe even a challenge that we've had to overcome. So take us back to some of those mistakes that you mentioned earlier, and walk us through the process that you went through and how God revealed himself to you in those times.
I'd be happy to. I'd be honored to, because I realize before there can be freedom there, a person has to acknowledge that he's in bondage. Joe, I can remember, I can go back as far as when I was 8 years old. I'm 60 now. 52 years ago, I can remember when I was first introduced to sex. Mm-hmm. I was playing in the projects, the Macaulay Holmes Projects, which is now a housing development here in Chattanooga. A friend of mine and I were outside playing, and he told me, let's go see my brother, and he's got his girlfriend, and I don't want to be too graphic, but you can imagine what we saw, and we saw that, and that excited me. I'd never seen anything like that. Consequently, unbeknownst to me, that was the seed of evil sexual tendencies that would cause me to, on later years in life, to develop an addiction to pornography. And consequently, that had me in bondage for a number of years from that simple act of seeing someone else in a sexual act, and at such a young age, Joe. And I stayed trapped in that bondage for years. I would talk to noted pastors whom I know and would explain to them what was going on. And all the best they could tell me, Joe, and it was very frustrating, the best they could tell me, well, son, pray about it. But I had been praying until I was blue in the face, Joe, and still hadn't been delivered. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for years. And what had happened, and thank God for, I was born in a Christian home. My father was a pastor. My mom, she taught me the scriptures in the Bible. And that was the bedrock during those dark times in my life. I knew enough about God, Joe, to know that no matter how dark I was living or the spiral of decay that I had fallen into, that there was a God who not only heard me, but he loved me, Joe, no matter how or what I did. So I would begin to talk to God. And then when I really, he revealed to me that there were two parts of me. The soul part of me enjoyed what I was doing, but the spirit part of me was grieved. I had compartmentalized my sexual addictions and porn. And when I got real with God, when I told God that, I said, Lord, a part of me love it and a part of me don't love it, Lord. That's when God started to work, Joe. That's when he went to work in my life to deliver me from that.
And, you know, we're going to talk about what it takes to break the cycle, but I think we need to unpack this right here. Because, Dwight, when, you know, you mentioned at the age of 8 that you were exposed to this. You know, with me, I was exposed to it when I was sexually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. And I was only 10 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And so when you're introduced to something like that, it takes everything out of whack. But here's what I want you to focus on and answer for me, because I think a lot of people, especially the men out there who are listening, who've been exposed to sexual things early on in their life, is that that's usually the start, but it usually, if this goes unchecked, leads to other things.
Yes,
now, you mentioned addiction pornography. It led to the same thing with me. It led to addiction pornography, but it tends to spiral out of control. And how did it affect other aspects of your life as a result of that and not being dealt with? And like you said, you mentioned the church, that people just say pray about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What? How did it spiral out of control, and what other areas of your life?
The evil one, Satan, knew my weakness even at a young age of 8 years old. It transpired, Joe, as I continued to grow older. I don't think I shared this with in a previous conversation you and I had months ago, but I too was sexually abused. The evil one used that sexual addiction, the sexual abusive stage in my life when I was about 10, 12 years old, and how it affected me. It affected me psychologically, affected me spiritually, and even later years when I entered into a marital relationship, it even affected me then. And what was even more heinous, Joe, was when I was called to pastor a church, and I knew deep down inside, I'm asking myself, how can I stand before the people of God knowing that I've got this dark cloud? I was living two lives, Joe.
Right.
On Sunday, I was living the life of a holy man of God. And during the week, even if it was just once a week when I saw porn, once a week, you're still addicted to porn. And that part of me was an after effect of leaving church on Sunday and living that type of life during the week. And it was very, very frustrating. It caused me to have some anger problems, which, boy, that's another story in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that took some deliverance from God had to deliver me in those different stages and degrees. It didn't all happen at once. Somewhere in Proverbs, it says, though, I'm trying to remember that Bible verse, a righteous man may fall seven times.
Yes.
There are stages before a person is absolutely set free and delivered from whatever addiction he may be dealing with. So I had to deal with those stages, frustration, anger, and disappointing relationships down through the years until God finally set me free.
Now, so take us back to the time when you were probably at the, I call it, I'm tired of this, something has to change.
Yeah.
That, you know, that rock bottom point in your life when you come to Jesus and realize that, wow, I need to do something about this, or this is going to destroy me. What was that point for you when you were going through this?
One of the times, and I can remember certain stages, was when I was pastoring a church, Joe, and I was incarcerated. And again, I'm allowing the enemy to plant thoughts in my mind like I'm a failure. I even had a pastor to tell me that I would never pastor again because of my divorce. And I just felt like a complete failure. But there again, I knew enough about God. God had already told me, I have plans for you. And that kept me going. The breaking point of my life when I recognized, okay, I'm sick and tired. I can't deliver myself. I can't get out of this bondage that I'm in. I've lost my church. I've lost my family here. I am incarcerated. I made my mind up that no matter how long it took, that I was going to live for the Lord. And it was a conscious decision. And I think for those men who may be addicted to porn, realize this, that's not who you are. That's just a symptom of problems underlying in your life that need to be addressed. Because until I started addressing those problems in my life, nothing got better for me, Joe. But I had to humble myself and cry out to God, Lord, I need you. I can't do this myself. And I was honest with the Lord. And again, that's when he began to go deeper into my life to cause me to become what he wanted me to become.
Now, Dwight, so let me get this right. So you, as a fallout of some of the trauma you had to go through as a child, that it led to anger problems.
And what I would do, because I did not have the coping skills to deal with the frustration and the addictions and the bad relationships. So what I did, I stuffed them. And the more I stuffed them, the deeper it would compound. And then eventually I would explode into bouts of anger, which is nothing. The Bible calls it in Galatians, the fifth chapter, deeds of the flesh or works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty good at, boy, I look back now, I say I was a mess. I was pretty good at operating in the works of the flesh, outbursts of anger and licentious lifestyles and all that, those things that weren't pleasing to God. But and the more I would read the Bible and thank God for his mercy, Joe, he was long suffering with me. And to the men who are suffering, don't ever give up, because God, he won't give up on you. I want to say it again. People may give up on us, Joe, but mm-hmm. thank God he won't give up on us. And I kept crying out to God, and eventually he broke through. He came in like a flood. He raised up a standard and delivered me from addictions and from anger management. And it cost it. There were prices I had to pay, Joe, from anger management and from being addicted to porn. So there are consequences as well as a price to pay whenever we sin against God.
And you mentioned that, Dwight, that Proverbs, it was 24:16, that yeah. for the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked yes. stumble in times yes. of calamity. Yes. And the fact is that if you're righteous, you can stand again. So right. here's my question to you, Dwight. What was the first thing you did? Because we're talking about anger problems, anger. That you were divorced, incarcerated, and you still and was trying to be in a leadership position. And these things will derail the average person and probably get them to throw in a towel. But obviously, God has done a work in your life and has restored you and put you in a place now that you have influence over men who've gone through similar experiences. So tell us, what was the first thing that you did that to get to climb out of this pit that you were in?
I kept crying out to God. And when I say cry out, I wasn't saying, oh, Lord, help me. I literally was yelling at God, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Mm-hmm. And I knew, Joe, the first time he set me free, I had a relapse, and boy, that compounded the problem. Not only was I still angry, but I was wrestling with self-esteem problems and feeling insecure and inferior, shame, condemnation. Unbeknownst to me, those were all fiery darts from the enemy. And what happened? Proverbs seven times is the number of completion. Mm-hmm. For men who are listening, you may relapse 3, 4, 5 times, but there is going to come a day in your age, I promise you. There's going to come a day in your age, in your life, when you're going to reach that point. If you don't give up, a lot of men give up and they throw in the towel and they say, well, consequently, I'm a sinner saved by grace. So I'm going to have this sexual problem, or I'm going to be an alcoholic or a drug addict. The devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. And I relapsed time and time again. But again, Joe, I'm telling you, I knew enough about God, and I was reading his word and say, Lord, if you could set David free, if you could cause Absalom to return back to you, and Asaph, whose feet slipped when he was going to the temple, you can do it for me. I never gave up. I kept believing in the delivering power of God, because he had transferred me out of the kingdom of darkness. And then I was reading in Colossians, the first chapter, where he said, I am now walking in the kingdom of light. Those scriptures kept me going, Joe, for deliverance. And the act of salvation, the definition for salvation in the Greek is to be delivered from something that can destroy you. So the more I got into God's word and God started speaking to me and delivering me from certain things, I saw God work. That it really excited me to allow God to be yielded to God to do more in my life.
Help me understand this from your perspective, Dwight.
Sure.
As far as being in that place when you're crying out to God, and sometimes because you look for answers and you don't know where to start.
Right.
And people say, well, I hear people say they cried to God. Mm-hmm. What did God speak to your heart? What did he speak to your spirit that decided that I could reach you and I can help you, but I'm going to need you to do something? Mm-hmm. So what was God requiring of you to do? What step was he requiring you to make in order to start the process?
It was somewhere in Psalms, I want to say it's Psalm 34, one of those Psalms where it says, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. Joe, I would read that over and over and over and over and over again. And when I started acknowledging, Lord, I need your help, that's when God started speaking to me, saying, surrender, surrender. And he gave me that verse for life, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore it's no longer I. And when I started saying, Lord, I can't deliver myself. Lord, I can't shake this free. Lord, I can't get out of this bondage. Because, Joe, let's go all the way back to when I was 17 years of age. I had always lived up to that point, from 17 up until, gosh, maybe in my 50s, whatever, a life of self-sufficiency. being in radio, I was one of the youngest radio programmers in the United States, had met numerous stars. I had a TV show, a radio show. I was known across the state of Tennessee, politicians and what have you. That life of sufficiency was a life that I had become entrapped to. So when God started saying, showing me that my self-sufficiency meant nothing, but when I realized my sufficiency was in Christ, that's when things really began to change in my life. I had to surrender. That was the breaking point right there. Total surrender, Joe. Not that little prayer, well, Lord, I sin, forgive me. No. I had total surrender. Lord, you have every right to invade every area of my life. I give you this sinful pornography addiction. I give you this lust. I give you this anger. I gave it to him. I cast it to him, Joe. And again, now, I relapse. I will relapse. But there again, though a righteous man falls how many times?
Seven times.
Seven. The number of completion. Mm-hmm. I saw that. I said, Lord, there's going to be, woo. I said, Lord, there's going to come a day in my life when I won't even be fazed by porn. And thank God that day arrived, Joe.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And see, you mentioned earlier, Dwight, that you said God would never give up on us,
no.
Even when man does. And
yes.
This is important for our listeners to understand, because a lot of us have made mistakes in relationships where it be addiction to alcohol, pornography, gambling, mm-hmm. you name it. You can name the vice. Mm-hmm. And we want people in our lives to be long suffering with us.
That's right.
Because we don't want to do bad. We don't want to cause the pain that we're causing, but we're wounded ourselves. So in turn, we wound other people. But we have that. But the men have to understand this. This is so important, and you just touched on it. That mm-hmm. even though the people around you may not respond the way you want them to respond, because I'm sure there were people in your life, Dwight, who probably was saying, "Well, he's never going to change," or mm-hmm. "I just give up on him. Mm-hmm. Don't ever talk to me again." And they shunned you and ostracized you. But God mm-hmm. never gave up on you. So if there's any reason to keep getting up the seven times or
that's
more,
right.
it's because
right.
God is saying, I'm still here and mm-hmm. I still want to help you keep getting up. So I love the fact that you stressed that point the seven times, but we can't get lost looking around us,
no.
waiting for other people to get on board with our recovery, with our restoration, with our healing, because some will and some won't. And so what's next? God help me. I'm still here. And you mentioned the word surrender, which I believe is that first start, is that
yes.
we must give up. And think about it, Dwight. In our society today, we're not taught that. We're taught that we're losers and that we're a wimp if we surrender. But not in God's mm-hmm. kingdom, not in his way of doing things. That's mm-hmm. the first sign of turning things around. Don't you agree?
I agree. And here's something else that was helpful for me back then and even now, Joe, and I hope this would be helpful for the men who are listening. Even before we were conceived in our mom's womb, God had a plan for us. He had a purpose for us. He had a destiny for us. Philippians, the first chapter, says something like this. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And all I'm saying, I want to go deeper there. That when I was mired in porn, when I was mired in incarceration down at Walker County Jail and mired in bad relationships, unbeknownst to me, boy, God, the sanctification works of the Holy Spirit were still working in the spirit soul of Dwight Harrison. And even to this day, Joe, to men who are listening, don't ever give up, because God is still at work. It may not seem like it. He's working 24/7, 365 days a week in our lives. So never give up, man. Never give up.
And he's working for our good, which
yes,
that's very encouraging. Now, Dwight, share with us then, how did you start breaking the cycle, the transitional home of faith for men? How did that come into the picture? Because you're now going through recovery. You're getting your life restored. God is doing a mighty work in you. He's breaking some bondage. He's delivering you from some things. So what put in your heart to start something like this for men? How did that come about?
Good question, Joe. It started, God gave me this revelation 6 years ago. I never will forget it. It was around August 2010. And he gave me a verse, Colossians 1:28-29, about perfecting men and teaching men and maturing men in the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the verse that really propelled me to take a step of faith, launching a halfway house for men, because of some of the things, well, not some of the things, but of everything that I had encountered in my life that was short-circuiting God from propelling me toward my destiny. And breaking the cycle, I said, Lord, somebody's got to break the cycle in the lives of men. And that was birth when I started the Halfway House. Here's the thing that really encouraged me. I was at home with my mom, who was incapacitated years ago, listening to our pastor, Steve Ball. I had turned the computer on to catch the sermon, Joe. And as soon as I turned my laptop on, Pastor Steve was saying, we're looking for a man or for someone to take over our Halfway House. Right then, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I'm opening this door for you. And I didn't wait for him to complete his sermon. I called Hank Brown and told Hank, hey, I am the man for the job. And that's how the Home for Men got started. And that's another story in itself, too, Joe.
Well, you know, we're going to deal with now, because you're right, that's a whole story.
Yes.
And I've had a chance to visit the house, and what you're doing is truly amazing. But I want to know, what advice would you give someone, especially those who are coming into your house and who you serve, the men you serve, what advice would you give them if they've been struggling with some of the things that you've struggled with? And if they find themselves, because a lot of them find themselves incarcerated due to anger, addiction, and a lot of other problems that they have, what advice would you give someone struggling starting out?
Yeah, people will have to fall to rock bottom before they can reach the top. I want to say that again. You have to reach rock bottom. You've lost everything. And all you have, Joe, and I've been there, all I had at one time in my life. And in reality, all we have now, despite the cars, the bling bling and all that, all we really have is God. We came into this world naked. And we're going to leave this world the same way we came in.
No, that's right.
Really. And, you know, I get so sick and tired and weary of hearing these little fluffing stuff sermons, these little 20-minute inspirational sermons. And men need to be set free. We're not as tough as we think we are. When men would come into my house, God gave me that discernment. When I was incarcerated, I learned how criminals would think. I noticed their evil idiosyncrasies. So when men would come into my house, I could tell the ones who would make it, and I could tell the ones who weren't going to make it. How could I tell the ones who were going to make it? By their sincerity, by them being just humble and walking in humility and realizing, I can't shake this thing. And that goes for any man or woman alive. We can't do, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, nothing at all. So that's what we look for when guys would come into the Halfway House.
And so you say the first sign that you look for was the sincerity and that humility, that brokenness.
Humility. Yeah, that broke. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I often tell women that if when they ask me, Joe, I'm trying to forgive my husband or forgive my boyfriend or something, how do I know if he's truly changed? And I always lead them back to what you just said. I said, is he humble? Mm-hmm. Is he sincere? I say, it's one thing to say, I'm sorry. It's one thing to say, oh, I won't do it again. But there's another thing when you look right in the eye and you can see total brokenness, where he's reached rock bottom, and he realized that he doesn't deserve to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
He's seeking help, and he's humbling himself to say, but I will lay myself before you and say, whatever it takes to make things right, I'm willing to do that.
Right, exactly.
And that does take a level of sincerity, so I'm glad you pointed that out. And typically, when the men are going through your house, what seems to be some of the biggest struggles and battles that they have when they come to you?
We've had about, 70 to 75 men who have come through the home, and God's leading us to breaking the cycle to another initiative, which we may have time to talk about. If not, that's okay. But one of the things that was a common thread with every one of these men, 90% of them did not have a real intimate relationship with their earthly father.
Say that again, Dwight.
Yeah. 90% of the men who came through my home, the Halfway House, did not have an intimate relationship with their earthly father or even knew who their earthly father was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we were made in the image of God, if we don't have an intimate relationship with our earthly father, that sort of circumvents what God is wanting to do in a man's life, because he's not only mad at himself, now he's mad at the man who brought him into the world because he has no clue who his earthly father is. So since he doesn't know who his earthly father is, how can he have an intimate relationship with his heavenly father who is so far fetched away from him? And to him, it doesn't make sense. So that compounds the anger problem. Mm-hmm. You know, he's angry at himself because he doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. Now he's angry at his father because his father's not around. Now he's even more angry at God because he's blaming God for the mess that he's in.
And I'm glad you brought that up because you actually made me think about my own life personally, that even as a child when I was growing up in Miami in the hood, no one would depict me as being an angry child, but I was angry. Mm-hmm. I just internalized it. And just like you right. said earlier in the show, you mentioned that you were suppressing a lot right. of the feelings that you were feeling, which means you're going to usually express it in probably a negative way if you've been holding it back right. so long.
Yeah.
And people ask me, they said, Joe, if you didn't exhibit any anger, how do people know you were angry? I said, well, I knew I was angry based on the fact that I couldn't understand why I was put in this situation where I did not have that relationship with my dad. Mm-hmm. I did not understand why my mom was struggling the way she was struggling. And I actually was mad at God because mm-hmm. I thought, if God is so good, how can my life be so bad?
Right.
And so I deal with a lot of these kids, working in education, that mm-hmm. they are angry because they don't have answers and they don't right. understand the love of the real father because they've experienced a distorted type of love from their own father. Mm-hmm. So you've noticed that too then in the house mm-hmm. that these men have an issue with their biological fathers. And you say they may not even know who their biological father is.
Right, right. That's true. And if you look across the scope of things in America, in the Black community, 72% of all Black single homes are headed by Black females now,
wow.
which means we've got a compound generational problem with these young men growing up in a lifestyle of femininity. Mm-hmm. And if the church doesn't do something, and that's another phase that we're launching, Breaking the Cycle. We're starting a fatherless initiative to reach out to the fathers because, Joe, I refuse to believe that every man does not want to have a relationship with his son or daughter. I refuse to believe that's true. What happens is that if a man cannot support his family or feel like he's a man or over that household, he's going to do one or two things. He's either going to stay or he's either going to leave. And consequently, so many men have left the household and now they're just wondering, trying to find themselves. Because before a man can find a woman, he has to know who he is in Christ. That was another struggle I had growing up and going through life, Joe, not knowing who I was in Christ.
You know, and even though this broadcast is for men, I wish that I'm sure we have some women out there who are listening to this, but you just said something that I think a lot of women don't understand about us as men. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the basic necessity. If we don't believe we can provide and take care mm-hmm. of the family that God has given us, then we usually react in a bad way. Either,
sure
like you
do.
Said, we
yeah.
either we abandon our family or yeah. we start partaking of destructive behavior, self-destructive behavior. And so I love the fact that you guys are working on an initiative to kind of restore a man's identity first, because we know we shouldn't get our identity through what we do, but men
right.
do it.
Yeah.
And yes, we can love the Lord and we love God, but at the same time, we're in this fleshly body. And we mm-hmm. see children who need to be fed. We see women who want to be taken care of. And we don't realize that we need to depend on God to help us do that. So a mm-hmm. lot of times we abandon ship because we don't have the opportunity or we don't see a way out. So I love the fact that I hope that the women, if there are women out there listening, that they understand that a lot of times with these men, they want to, but they don't know
That's
how.
Right. That's
they
right.
don't know how, and they feel that there's no hope. So I assume then what you guys are doing with Breaking the Cycle is giving men hope.
Oh, no question, Joe. Because when you look back in the Garden of Eden, one of the responsibilities that God gave Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. God made we men to be productive and to be providers. And if we can't meet either two of those initiatives or dynamics in our lives, we feel like failures.
Right.
I felt like a failure, Joe. When I was incarcerated, I said, now I lost my church. I look back now and laugh. I say, wow, I lost my church. I'm losing my family. I'm losing self-respect. I felt like a loser. But there was in me that power of God, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He lives in us, Joe. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that keeps Christian men going, that power of God that's on the inside of them.
And Dwight, it's so funny because there's so many podcasts out there for men. And I mm-hmm. listen to some of them, but mm-hmm. most of them are with a secular bent. And
right.
people, unfortunately, look at Christian men as being weaker or that we mm-hmm. use God as a crutch. And anyone who knows me or know men like you realize that we're not weak men. We're actually strong men. But my question to those who do not believe in God, those who do not have a faith, and I'm just curious because, you know, I've achieved a lot of worldly success. My thing is, how in the world can you make it without God in your life, without that foundation? To me, it blows my mind how anyone can survive this thing called life without believing in something bigger than themselves. So I'm glad you pointed that out as well.
Of course, of course. They're just merely existing. They're like a ship without a sail. They can easily be blown off course. But when you have God in your life, you may be blown off course, but God will get you back on course, Joe.
And see, and you just summarized the testimony of my life.
mine.
Well, blown off course, and then God had to redirect the ship.
Oh, boy. Hey, Joe, and even now in my life, every now and then I get blown off course by the life itself can be crucial and difficult, especially being in ministry. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but God always has his hands on us to get us back on the road towards his will.
All right. Now I'm going to shift it a little bit, Dwight. I'm going to take you back to when you were younger version of yourself. We're going to take you back to 21. Okay. And I typically like to ask my guests this because I'm always intrigued because we hear that hindsight is 20/20. I believe it's even sharper than that sometimes. I think it's 10/10.
Okay.
But let's take you back to 21 years old. And I want you to look at
those years.
You remember those years? I remember those years myself. Now, if you could go back and talk to that 21-year-old version of Dwight Harrison, what would you tell him to do first now?
Make easy. I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. As I alluded to minutes ago, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. My mother, she loved the Lord, both of whom have passed away and they're in glory now. I thought I was saved at the age of 12 years old, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to, I won't call the church's name. I remember going up to the pastor and he shook my hand and he never asked me questions like, did I know the Lord? Or what would I do if God were to ask me, why should I go to heaven? Or how do I know that Jesus is Lord in my life? He never asked me those questions. And I just thought I was saved, Joe. It wasn't until I was 26 years old, 14 years later, did I come into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If I could go and talk to Dwight when he's 21, I would say, son, make sure you know Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but as Lord.
Wow.
That's the most important thing, Joe, because in hindsight, you know, retrospectively, that was the most important decision I ever made in my life at 26 years of age, receiving Jesus as Lord and as Savior.
You know, we had a guest on earlier named John Ramos, a really good friend of mine, and he had said the same thing. That he says most people want Christ as their Savior, he said, but they deny him as their Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is so powerful, and I hope that it doesn't come across as being super spiritual to our listeners, because it is so vitally important that they understand what you just said. It's because as a Savior, you're being rescued and saved from something.
Mm-hmm.
But when he becomes Lord in your life, you're saying, I'm going to do it his way, not my way.
That's right. And even Jesus asked this question, how can you call me Lord and don't do the things I ask you to do? I'm just paraphrasing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true. Even now, Joe, I still blow it. I still miss
me too.
But he's Lord. He calls the shots in my life. He does.
You know, I look at it like a parent sometimes, because I know that God loves me. But the thing is, he has to say, Joe, do you want me to come down there? Or are you going to do what I tell you to do?
Right.
And so you're right that we still, even as men today and as old as we are now, we still struggle with this. But at the same time, we know, but first and foremost, that he is Lord
and that
he's going to have the final say.
Yeah.
You know, I think about my own household and with my children. Yeah, they, you know, we butt heads a lot, you know, having a teenager and a college age kid here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they know dad has the final say. And what dad says is going to go.
That's
so no matter how much I throw a tantrum when it comes to God, I know he's going to have the final word.
Yeah, no question. No
so
question.
You say that. So the first thing you would do, then you would make sure that you would go back and tell that younger Dwight there, make sure that he's Lord of your life. But what would you tell that 21-year-old to do better?
Gosh, to do better, to be these three things, Joe, right here. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching this revelation Jesus gave to me in the halfway house. Love like Christ, learn like Christ, and live like Christ. And those are all biblical. Love like Christ, live like Christ, learn like Christ. And if we can get those three dynamics down pat, wow, we can make a difference in the entire world, Joe. But so many of us want to live like Jay-Z.
Right.
Learn like whoever and live like or love like who's that movie star, whoever he is. We've got it reversed. But when we realize this is, Joe, let me just stop like this. This is the most exciting part of my life I've ever lived now that God is really revealing some things to me. And I'm literally learning to live like Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to literally learn like Christ and love like Christ. And boy, it makes a world of difference, Joe.
Now, and again, I love what you just said. And you said to live like Christ, to love like Christ,
love
to learn like Christ.
Learn like Christ.
And
yeah.
I've heard that before, but I want you to help us understand, how do we learn? I know how we should live like Christ. I know how we should love like Christ, love your enemies, you know, and treat people the way you want to be treated. To live like Christ, follow in his footsteps, and what he did, we are to do also. How would a person learn like Christ?
Oh, studying how did Jesus live?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take time, and we just can't put all everything on the pastor. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved.
Right.
Joe, I literally started reading the Gospels, literally reading how did Jesus live? You know, he said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me.
Mm-hmm.
Learn of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started studying at the age of 12 when they left Jerusalem. They said, where is Jesus? They thought he was lost.
Right.
But they went back to Jerusalem, and Jesus, at the early age of 12, had so supernaturally allowed his heavenly Father to cause him to walk in supernatural wisdom. He was around there teaching those learned men the do's and don'ts of divinity. I'm saying, wow. And that was, now Jesus was being Jesus as the Son of Man. And I say, okay, how can I learn to be like Jesus at the age of 45? So it's not that difficult, Joe. We just have to be willing to realize it's no longer about Dwight, but it's about Jesus who lives in me. So that's, to me, it's simple. Just learning, reading the life of Jesus in the Gospels.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Now, what would you tell that 21-year-old to do more of? Because obviously everything that you did wasn't bad, but there were some things you probably started doing, but you stopped doing. What would you go back and tell them to do more of?
Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and read the Word. Those two things. Pray is, and we hear that word pray, it sort of makes us want to cringe because we think we have to be polished professional prayers when we talk to God.
Right.
But to me, prayer is just keeping it real with God.
Mm-hmm.
When I mess up, I be specific with God. I say, Lord, you know what? I really, I go into details with him. And not only that, when I pray and repent and have the absolute intentions of not repeating the same thing over. So those two things, having a powerful prayer life, which simply means talking to God about everything and then studying his word, because his word are the dynamics to a successful life.
Well, this is good stuff, Dwight. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And mm-hmm. Now you know what it's time for. It's time for the man up questions.
Okay.
And these are five quick questions, Dwight, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. Mm-hmm. And they require fearless honesty, which I know you don't have a problem with. So okay. The question is, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. And the first letter, it starts with the letter M, and it stands for mistake. Now, Dwight, what mistake did you learn from the most as a man? You articulated a lot of different mistakes that you made along the way, but what did you learn the most from it?
Wow, mistake. The biggest mistake that I've made was doing things my way, Joe, if you can call that a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I started doing things my way, I just kicked God to the curb. I did not get his advice on anything. I didn't seek his wisdom. I didn't seek his guidance on anything. I just took matters into my own hands. And consequently, down through the years, and even now, it was a bunch of failures. So the mistake that I would make was taking matters into my own hands.
Now, the A represents attitude, Dwight. If you could change one attitude in men, and you work with a lot of men, if you could change one attitude about men, what would it be?
wow. And take in consideration, we all have egos. Mm-hmm. If I could change the attitude of men, it would cause them to walk into total humility, mm-hmm. humility, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. thinking less of themselves and more of others.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the N stands for next. What's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you knew you couldn't fail? And it seemed like you alluded to it earlier. So here's the perfect time to tell us what that next big thing is in your life that you would do for God.
Reaching as many fathers in this city who do not have relationships with their kids. That's our fatherless initiative, because this thing is so huge, Joe. I worked with Mayor Burke, Violence Reduction Initiative, and one of the throwbacks on that was that the men who were in trouble, the gangbangers, the thugs, whom they call thugs, and the troublemakers, again, there's a common thread. They had no relationship with their earthly dad. Mm-hmm. So if the church, and I think it's the church's job, I am my brother's keeper. I think the church should be reaching out to these guys we see on the corners drinking their malt liquors and just hanging out. We need to reach out to them. And it's nothing but evangelism, Joe, mm-hmm. you know, fulfilling the Great Commission.
Right.
And that's the call that God has me on right now, the Fatherless Initiative here in Chattanooga.
And I definitely want to learn more about that, because you know I'm all in whatever you do to help fathers, man.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Dwight, the U represents understanding. Okay. And when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man, but you know now?
I didn't know. I didn't understand what a man was, because my dad, God bless him, he did everything he could. He was a great provider, but he was gone, Joe, a lot. Mm-hmm. He pastored two churches, one in Georgia and one in Alabama. He worked a full-time job. And I think back now, how in the world did he make it? I didn't understand what a man was. Mm-hmm. And down through the years, I would mimic what I thought a man was. I thought a man would be strong, but I didn't know. You know, the Bible says, in all they're getting, get understanding.
That's right.
And that was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. It was what I didn't have the understanding to what a man was up until my latter years in life.
And I think a lot of men can relate to that, because I know that I can. Mm-hmm. And now here's the last letter. Last letter is P, and mm-hmm. it stands for problem, Dwight. And as a mighty man of God, what one problem in your life do you still struggle with as a man even today?
That's easy. Mm-hmm. Myself. We laughed, Joe. The devil isn't my biggest problem. My biggest problem is staying out of God's way. That sounds so egotistical, but mm-hmm. being more yielded to the Lord, and just being yielded to God and allowing God to do whatever you want to do in my life. Again, that's where the Lordship comes in at, Joe. So my biggest problem is, here we are again, it's no longer I, because I can sometimes play like God, Joe, and I do a miserable job. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem is Dwight Harrison.
Great job, Dwight. That's awesome, man. Thank you for being so open and honest with us about that. Now, before we close out the show, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember about breaking the cycle of a traumatic past and a lot of mistakes? In other words, what would you want them to take away from our conversation today?
Realizing that God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life, and he's got a marvelous destiny for your life. If we would just, here we go again, surrender and realize it's not about us, but it's all about the Christ that lives in us, Joe. Mm-hmm. That, I think every man, if we can get to that point and say it's no longer about me, but it is, it has everything to do with God. And Joe, I have to share this. God has brought a magnificent, remarkable, godly woman into my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, wow, that has really done something for me to see God at this latter stage in my life. To do that, and what God has done for you and me, Joe, he can do and will do for other men if we just surrender everything to God. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Well yeah. said. And congratulations on that. You told me that right before we came on the broadcast, and you messed me up, man.
Well, but, that's bad to have for you.
Because when a man has found a wife, he has found a good thing. So the key that you said is you found a godly woman. That's for a whole nother episode how to find that godly woman. I could speak for days on that. Yes. But I appreciate it. And thank you so much, Dwight. Well, we've come to the end of our show today. But guys, don't you worry. We'll be back to do it all again next week with a new guest, with new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. And I'd like to thank my guest, Dwight Harrison, for joining us today and for being so gracious with his time. Even though it was difficult to get him on, we finally got him here. So, Dwight, thank you so much for joining us on the show, man.
Thank you, Joe, for not giving up on me this time.
Hey, no, I'll never give up on you, Dwight. Now, Dwight, quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you in the ministry, what you're doing with Breaking the Cycle, because what you're doing is a wonderful work, and even about the Father Initiative, Fatherless Initiative that you guys are focusing on right now, how could they contact you and how could they reach you?
Sure. We're in the process of rebuilding our website. However, they can go on Facebook and check out our Facebook page at breaking-the-cycle or email us at all one word, breakingthecycle96@yahoo.com.
Okay. And say that again.
Yes. Email address is breakingthecycle96@yahoo.com. It's all one word, breakingthecycle96@yahoo.com.
And Dwight, I'll make sure that I put that in the show notes as well, so they'll have that and they'll be able to reach out to you, because I know I'll be reaching out to you, because I definitely would love to work with you on that project.
Okay, sounds good.
And Now, and to all of you out there, guys, first of all, thank you for listening, because without you, we wouldn't even have a show. But to all of you out there, please do us a favor, and this is so important. Take about 30 seconds and go over to iTunes and rate the program. See, it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, hearts, and ears of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share this episode with your friends who I know could benefit from it. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, the professional man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and of course, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out RealMenConnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's RealMenConnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.